Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening, welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As a busy midweek in Europe meets League Cup final weekend, Rangers produce a brilliant win away at Real Betis to top the group and look forward to the last 16. Aberdeen set themselves up for Sunday's Hampden showdown with a great win against Eintracht Frankfurt, and plenty of important league action to prepare for with Daizen Maeda and Cameron Carter-Vickers back in the Celtic squad for the visit of Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Kenny Miller. What a midweek in Europe that was, Kenny Miller.
Well, was that the first time we've had three Scottish teams won in 21 years? It was an incredible week. And you know, not just in terms of the results that were given, look at the teams that have been beaten. I mean, Frankfurt, incredible result for Aberdeen again, by the way, and look at the team that was picked as well, obviously with Sunday in mind for Barry Robson. But a wonderful result. Rangers going to Spain and winning for the first time against a Spanish team, brilliant performance, excellent winning. Celtic ending that long run at home, getting a Champions League victory. As much as it means nothing, I tend to agree with Brendan Rodgers, no one at that level means nothing. So, and it's got the monkey off the back as well, so a big week.
And the small matter of the first piece of silverware of the season this weekend, Simon.
Yeah, another big weekend. A few domestic games tomorrow. Obviously, the finishes on the Sunday with a big final. I think both teams will, you know, take a real boost out of the results last night. Aberdeen, as Kenny said, a fantastic result up at Pittodrie. And then Rangers, you know, going to Seville. And, you know, Betis, their form has been fantastic at home. I think they're unbeaten until last night, scoring three goals. So both teams should begin into Sunday's final with their tails up.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. It really is all happening. I feel like I say that a lot, but not for effect, because I mean it. It really is. You look at last night, Rangers fans, how on earth do you look back on that? Was it, where does that one rank? I know in the last few years you've beaten really good European opposition, but particularly last night, when you look at the squad that was available and still a team in a bit of a transition and all that sort of stuff, and the fact that this was a campaign at which had difficulties against Aris Limassol, with all that in context, where does last night rank? What was good about it? We had a fine goal from Cyril Dessers, of course, who's had a lot of criticism. What did you make of him and other individual performances? How do you look forward to the last 16? And what does it do? How does it set you up for the League Cup final on Sunday? 0141 951 1025. Aberdeen fans, you go into it in great form as well, making 8 changes and still beating the team that beat Bayern Munich 5-1 at the weekend, which is a quite a stat. So again, how do you feel about Sunday? How do we all generally feel about Sunday as well? 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, league action, I guess the priority is just to get those points on the board. We always say it's better to have that than games in hand. I'm sure you'd rather be in the League Cup final, but the chance to just increase that gap and make Rangers respond at some point, how big a boost is it to hear that Daizen Maeda and Cameron Carter-Vickers could be available tomorrow as well? Loads of other big games. Motherwell looking to end that long winless run against St Mirren. There is so much going on. So let's hear from you tonight on 0141 951 1025. I mean, Simon, as Kenny said, the fact that I don't think we've ever had it on, it's been a long time since it was three Scottish teams are all winning in the group stages.
2002, I think it
was. All in the group stages, yet Rangers obviously is the crowning one of those three, because it was the one that had, you know, sporting merit attached to it. But nevertheless, in a season that the coefficient, to use that word, has been taking a bit of a battering, it was a great week, wasn't it?
Well, how many times do we get hammered as a nation, you know, when we go into Europe? And we've been on the end of some heavy defeats over the time, but you know, for three clubs to go into, and as Kenny said there as well, the opposition, you know, Feyenoord, the Dutch champions, Eintracht Frankfurt off the back of a great result. Betis, I think, drew with Madrid last weekend as well. So, yeah. And as I said there, their form at home has been nothing short of perfect up until last night. So it's three fantastic results. Obviously, the Rangers one means more. You know, they've progressed into the last 16. I think Celtic will take some pride, you know, not to mention the cash from that win. And you said yourself, it gets a monkey off their back. It's been too long, I think, 10 years. And Aberdeen, I've actually watched a few of Aberdeen's games. You know, they've had a couple of draws in there as well. And I think just to cap their campaign off with a win will, you know, set them in good stead going into the final at the weekend. I think they now have to try and take that European form that they've had there into the domestic campaign, because the league position doesn't really reflect that team, I don't think.
01419511025. Kenny Miller and Simon Donnelly are here. And you know what that means, though? Fight it out amongst yourselves. One of you has to be Hugh Keevans tonight.
Oh, I'm in his seat.
Well, I'm closer to him age wise.
And he's older.
So we can toss the coin. But that is the reality. If you're in here on a Friday and he's not, one of you is going to have to step up to the plate. It's pretty simple. Annoy everybody, fall out with everybody, make terrible predictions for the weekend. Got that covered? Good. Scott is a Rangers fan in Paisley who's going to kick things off. How good was last night's achievement, Scott?
Last night's achievement, not only for Rangers but for Scottish football, was outstanding. Obviously, Kenny was saying earlier on that the coefficient usually gets a battering, but last night, I think, and obviously with Celtic during the week, the coefficient's looking a lot better. But focusing more to the point on Rangers, I thought Bessers was amazing last night, but the best player on the park by far was Ross McCausland. I don't know if he's watched the game, but Ross McCausland, for a young boy his age, where he's came from, up through the Rangers Academy, he's a product of Rangers at the end of the day. I just hope Rangers don't make the mistake that they made with Nathan Patterson and Billy Gilmour when it comes to the summer or January.
Well, listen, I thought he came into the game. He actually had a bit of a tough first half as well, going the other way in terms of tracking Miranda. Yeah. He kept getting
that
in, and it'll be a lesson, you know. When I said it last night, it's a wonderful experience for him at this stage of his career to go into that environment in a game that meant so much, and actually perform pretty well in it. You know, like there's no doubt he'll come out stronger. The one thing about him, every time he gets the ball, he does look fearless. He just drives at people. Obviously, had a hand in that first goal. He just drives, he's direct, he's a good ball carrier. Something that Rangers need, to be honest with you, because there's no other real natural wingers in the team at the moment. So, yeah, I thought he'd done well. You know what, I thought John Lundstrom was outstanding as well. He has been since Philippe Clement came into the team. For me, he was the standout performer. Delighted for Dessers as well, because he's found himself in that position a lot over the first few months of the season, and he's been pretty indecisive with it. And again, obviously, the Rangers fans have let them know about that, but that goal last night, the ability he showed, it was outstanding, and a good finish, and again a big goal and a big moment. You know, that's what it's about in these games. You have to take your moments.
Was it? I mean, it's a great achievement anyway. Was it part of that surprise or unexpected nature of it? Is that what's made parts of this so impressive for the Rangers fans? Dessers as an example, so much criticism. If I say at 6 o'clock last night, listen, Rangers fans, fear not, he's going to pick up the ball, nutmeg somebody in the box, drift his way in and score a vital goal, they maybe would have doubted that prediction. That would be from the Hugh Keevans playbook. And then generally, because as football fans here, we're always quite optimistic, but last night I could sense it. A lot of the Rangers fans, it was sort of, this is going to be tough. I mean, look at the injuries, look at the availability. Sunday's more important. You know, let's just get through tonight. Certainly got through tonight in the best possible sense, through to the last 16.
And you know what, as it turned out, it needed to be a win. You know, I think I had a feeling that it would have taken a win. I thought Prague were going to be too strong for Aris, as it turns out they were. So it needed to be that win to make sure that Rangers were in the Europa League. And you're right to say that. You know, I think everybody, when you look at the team and you think that it's going to be a tough night anyway, by the way, whoever was playing, considering the form that Betis were in and the form that they've showed at home. Again, they don't concede goals either. It's not just they've not been beat, they didn't concede a lot of goals. So for Rangers to go there and score three, but you're right in terms of Dessers and how he's performed. But I think even Cifuentes, I thought he had a good half, and obviously he's probably picked up maybe a little niggle.
Suspended anyway.
and he was missing the weekend. But again, but on that performance, when you look at Lammers in the team, Cifuentes in the team, Dessers in the team, guys that have kind of been on the end of criticism. But it wasn't just the skill that Dessers showed as well. Like, he's actually nodded it inside to Cifuentes. Mm. He's then carried his run. Again, it was a longish 1-2, and then he gets in the box and shows that type of ability. So, you know, it's in there. He hopefully the goal gives him the confidence and the belief that he needs, that Sunday's another huge game. It's a chance to go and score a cup final winning goal now.
Where does this result rank, Scott? Because we've said, but you know, there was Dortmund and Leipzig and various good results in recent seasons, but just given the kind of personnel difficulties, is this one right up there?
I think it goes right up there, to be honest. I would put it on par with maybe beating Borussia Dortmund or beating Leipzig at Ibrox.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, you mentioned it, the record. Betis haven't been beaten at home this season. In case you hadn't noticed, they play some pretty good teams domestically.
Yeah, I think it's up there with some of their best results, you know, in that Europa League run that they had a couple of seasons ago. I really do. I think a difficult place to go any time, a depleted squad, and to win the game. You know, I watched the game, and at the time that the little group was going up and it was fluctuating, and they've dropped points to, you would argue, the weakest team in it. And
it's,
they go and win
the hard way,
to
isn't it?
Win the group, and they miss out in that playoff, they directly into the last 16. I think it's up there with anything they've achieved in recent time.
Thank you to Scott. What about Craig on the line? How would you describe it last night, Craig?
Sorry guys, I was trying to go on a wee bit earlier, I missed your calls, but the first half I would describe as a basketball game. You know, I thought it could have been 3-3, 4-3 at half time, anything. It was just absolute madness. But I thought we kind of rode our luck a wee bit in the second half. But you need to do that when you're away from home in Europe. And we've done that, you know, in the run to Manchester and the run to Seville, etc. But just a quick point on the guy Scott's comment about McCausland. McCausland would believe in Nathan Patterson couldn't get a game ahead of Taverney. And Billy Gilmore, you know, was
15 or 16, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's totally different. McCausland's just signed a new contract, so don't have to worry about that one. But, yeah, I was just saying to the producer there, I think this 16 days, you know, I mentioned this to you guys when Big Phil came in. I spoke to Kenny, I totally agreed. I know injuries have dictated this, but I thought, you know, what Kenny said, you know, 6-8 weeks ago about Cantwell, Seaman, Lawrence, you know, behind Danilo was the perfect front four, essentially. But also we can't do that just now. And as on Big Dessers last night, I thought it could be a turning point for the big guy, but I think it just shows you the confidence that he's got under the new manager. And obviously you guys know about Alec Ray and the infectious, you know, personality he's got and how much he cares about Rangers. He'll be putting all that in at a training ground. And Cifuentes, I thought, was very, very good in the first half. And I said to the producer there, I think maybe you guys could correct me, but I think the only time I've seen a fullback in terms of Dijon Sterling being asked to play centre mid for Rangers, the last one I can remember is Fernando Rixon. And, you know, Big Phil tweaked that. Sorry, I keep calling him Big Phil. The gaffer tweaked it last night because young McCausland was, I don't want to say he was at fault for the two goals, but, you know, it was just naivety of the young boy. He's only 20 and he was, you know, trying to, you know, be a more attacking threat, and he was leaving Tav exposed a little bit, and the gaffer realised that at half time. That's why he put Sterling on in the middle of the park and made it a sort of narrow 4-4-2. But yeah, as I say, the last time I can remember a fullback being asked to play in the middle of the park was Fernando. But last night, in terms of where it ranks, it's definitely up there. But as I say, it could be a springboard. Winning the group against all the odds, you know, if you asked me sort of 24 hours ago if Rangers were going to win the group, I'd say you're mad. You know, win the cup final potential on Sunday, get a result at Parkhead on the 30th, you know, it's season changing for these boys, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we get hung up a lot on the draw and the seedings, which is understandable because it, you know, often goes that way, but it was quite a way of doing it, Kenny. 1 point off Aris Limassol and maximum off Real Betis, which, you know, I think that's Craig's point when he talks about 24 hours ago. That would have been tough to do last night with a full strength team, never mind, you know, the team that eventually did take to the pitch and then finished the game.
Yeah, it would again. And I think what was even more so that made it like the hard way was the fact that you've actually beat Betis in that opening game. You know, you've beat them at home, you've got off to a wonderful start, and you've put yourself in a great position when you're thinking you've got Aris next, and you've got, I think the way the fixtures fell for Rangers over the course of the group were quite favourable. But to now go into that last way is no favourable, because obviously they made it hard by not beating Aris Limassol at home 2 weeks ago. But it was, listen, they've done it the hard way. I think they've done it well as well. When you look at the stats of the game, it was no smash and grab. Mm. You know, I mean, the game was in the balance. And just to go on, I think what Craig's saying about kind of hanging on a little bit and right riding your luck, football's won and lost in big moments of the game. Rangers took their moment. You know, we've talked so many times about Celtic in Europe and Rangers in Europe not taking their moments. Well, Rangers took their moment in the second half. Yeah, they had a couple of set plays, obviously got the handball, which was the correct decision, as much as you're thinking, oh, that's another situation. Well, it was the right decision, and when Rangers got the moment, it fell to roof. They never defended it properly. You thought the opportunity was gone when Matondo had a wild swipe and missed, but then it just falls ever so kindly for Kamar Roof to stay, kind of bundle it over the line. So they took their moment. I think they deserved the result. A big, big win, and obviously now you can look forward to that last 16. Done it the hard way, but listen, they earned it.
Where does it rank for you in terms of those recent European results?
Well, I look at Dortmund. I mean, Dortmund was an outstanding win and a performance against one of the elite, I would say, in Europe. I wouldn't quite put Betis up there, as much as their home form is outstanding. Like I said, they don't concede too many goals, but it's up there in respect that I don't think this team, this Rangers team, are as good as that Rangers team.
Sure.
You know, and they're also, as much as they're unbeaten under Philippe Clement and they're building kind of the right momentum and they're going in the right direction, I still think there was, I mean, I was going in it, again, you see the Rangers fans on the way to get, what do you think? I'm thinking draw at best. You know, I was kind of more hoping that Aris could have got something off Prague to keep Rangers into that second spot. But you know what? They went and performed like to a man. They all contributed. They had to work hard. They had to ride their luck at their times. And when they had their moments, they took them. So it would be right up there alongside Dortmund for me.
Thank you very much to Craig, 01419511025. Perfect time to call. We'll get you on next.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Kenny Miller are here, 0141 951 1025, or you can contact us on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it these days, at Clyde SSB. Keep those calls coming in. Very busy already. I can see lots of you Rangers fans wanting to praise last night, and understandably so. Let's hear from Philippe Clement, who says he could not be prouder of his Rangers team. He says they're giving him everything he's looking for.
Yeah, big pride. I'm really proud of them. I saw today what I wanted to see, the things we worked on the last couple of weeks. I want to see a team of winners that never give up. I want to see a team where everybody's involved, starting or not starting, where everybody wants to do the job, if it's in his normal position or not, and create a team of winners who never give up. And that's what they did today. So they played a big game. I said also before the game that I wanted to see a brave team, not a team that's only wanted to defend and looking for transitions, but also a brave team on the ball, playing our football. And they did. First half better than second half, or the start of the second half, where Betis became stronger and stronger. But then we digged in and we stayed together and we worked hard. And then the moments come. I cannot be more proud as a coach after this short period together where the team is now for the moment.
How much of this is a feather in his cap, Kenny? Because if we're acknowledging, well, obviously the injuries and absentees just speak for itself. If we're also acknowledging that there are still Rangers players there who aren't flying yet and are not up to speed yet, and it is relatively early on. So if that's the case, is that not more credit to him for being able to assemble that winning team from last night?
Well, what he's doing is he's putting them into a structure. He's given them obviously clear instructions about what they've got to do and how they've got to go out and give themselves the best possible chance to succeed. So absolutely, because I think you're right. Like somebody actually, I mean, I know as Scott came on earlier and talked about like outstanding performers. Like I was trying to think, like who would have gave the kind of man. So I think it was a very, very strong performance as a team. But in terms of individuals within it, yeah, I still think. Like, I don't think quite like Tavs that was at the top of his game. To be fair, I think Barisic's probably similar. You've got Lundstrom, who I think has been over the piece, the outstanding performer. I thought McCausland was decent. Dessers was definitely better. But it was like, I think it was as a team, it was just a really, really good performance. So it's he's got to take a lot of credit, because like you say, he's still, I think there's a lot more to come. I think he'll be definitely striving for more and continue looking for improvements. But he's got to take credit. He's getting a team in a position that they can win games, you know, and that's what he needed to do when he first came in. I would say he has got slight improvements probably out of most. He'll be wanting more. I'm still thinking he'll be looking to strengthen in January. But the job to quit when he came in was to get through in the Europa League, win games of football, make players better, win the cup. At the moment, he's ticking every box.
Yeah. What about Dale, who's a Rangers fan? How do you look back on it, Dale?
Oh, I look back on it with absolute joy, but throughout the match, it was tension. I said to my wee boy, this is what football does to you, son. You know, you look forward to it. But sitting watching it, it was the relief after it, but it was a great night. But I think what I wanted to concentrate more on is the fact that I'm looking at the coefficient just now, and Man City sit above us, Bayern Munich sit above us. We're third place in Europe. Behind us in the top five are PSG and Real Madrid. This has been a five-year process. Okay, we can talk about last season, the Champions League. There was a lot of problems with that in terms of our defence and players not being available. But in the last 5 years, what this club has achieved, when we think about what happened in Luxembourg, has been absolutely unbelievable. And I think we really... It's okay we can talk about Rangers and Celtic and have that rivalry. But what Rangers have achieved in the last 5 years in the coefficient and where that has placed Scottish football. Last night, and I hate to mention a rival radio show, but the UK, it was broadcast on Talk Sport the whole game. That is how significant Rangers have become in terms of their European success.
I wouldn't be using that as a barometer for success, but anyway, I don't know what coefficient table Dale looked at or whatever. I don't know. Is that over the last few years or whatever? I assume Rangers are not the third best ranked team in Europe right now. Dale, can you tell us a bit more? What's the table?
Right, I'm looking at the current coefficient table, and I think it is over the last 5 years in terms of the coefficient points gained. Rangers are sitting behind these clubs, are sitting in between these clubs as the top five in terms of coefficient points gained.
That may well be the case. I don't know specifically, but the one thing you can't deny is obviously the success, relative success over that period, yeah, as well, Simon. And interesting to get the kind of rival fans' perspective, if you like, because have you always had that feeling then over the last few seasons that this Rangers side, whatever they're going through domestically, they're always really, just seem really capable of digging something out in Europe?
They seem to be. And as I say, last night, you know, that group, looking at it at the beginning, would you say they would win it? You probably would have said up there with Betis, but they struggled with the Aris games. They kind of made it even more difficult for them. But they go to Seville last night and they get the result. And this team, you know, it's obviously changed a little bit since two seasons ago, but they've dug out very good results in Europe in the last, you know, two or three seasons. And they've got themselves into the knockout stage. And that's where, if you're looking at it from a Celtic's perspective, yes, it was Champions League stuff, but I'm sure Celtic fans would have looked at, you know, trying to get the Europa League at worst and be in Europe after Christmas this season. So it's huge success for Rangers to achieve this. And not only, as I said earlier in the show, they've avoided the playoff, they go straight into the 16, and they'll be looking forward to the draw.
I mean, Kenny, it's spanned too many different managers, players and circumstances for this to be all completely linked. You know, what Steven Gerrard did in Europe and that group of players, it's a completely different team and a different manager. So even more impressive then that the club over that period have managed, as we see, we're now comparing Betis last night to a long list of good results. It's not like that's the one standout from that period.
Well, I think that's what sticks out to me on Dale's point is when I think back to when Steven Gerrard came in 2018, it was an 8-game run to get to the Europa League. They've won a lot of games since then to this point. There's been a lot of games won from Rangers through the qualifiers, through the group games. Obviously, the success of two seasons ago. Obviously, last year was a write-off. I mean, if you look at the three teams that they got in the Champions League, it was always going to be a real uphill struggle to get anything in any game. But they've won a lot of games. Obviously, Europa League, that's where they've been really, really competitive. And what they've done is, it is, like you say, it's different managers, there is a different players in it, but what it's done is, there is still a lot of the same players as well. It's gave the team, as it's moved through the years, the experience of playing at that level and what they're going to be facing, home and away, the kind of challenges that they're going to come up against, and now they're quite comfortable within that. And again, last night's performance shows it. I think Philippe Clement's absolutely right. He should be proud. It wasn't a smash and grab. They were well in the game. Had to kind of ride the luck a little bit. But for me, they deserved it because they took their moment.
Thank you very much to Dale. Let's bring in Ian, who's in Lanark. What do you want to get across after last night, Ian?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to make a couple of points in the game last night. I heard the caller a little earlier, and although I agree that Ross McCausland deserves a lot of credit, I think the one player that stood out for me in particular last night was John Lundstram. I thought he was absolutely outstanding, and the kind of recovery from his form in the past few games has been nothing short of spectacular. So I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on how he's been performing.
I've already said it, yep, I said it, Ian. I think he's, not only last night, I think he's been in wonderful form since Philippe Clement came in. And you know what, you've got to ask the questions like why. He did look a little bit kind of lost and delusioned at the start of the season. Obviously, he's in his last year of his contract as well. Was he maybe hoping there could have been discussions for a new contract? You know, by the way, is he now playing better? Because there's not going to be a new contract on the table, and he now needs to try and go and earn it. But I just think he looks far more comfortable now. He looks happier. And it was outstanding last night. I just think he's got such a presence in the middle of the pitch. We've seen that in two seasons ago. He was a wonderful player in that. And I think that's where he came to the fore as a Rangers player two seasons ago. That second half of the season in the knockout stages alongside Ryan Jack and Glenn Kamara, he was allowed just to be the player that suited him. I actually think he's really developed now into a six where he's getting on the ball a lot more. He's starting things off. Maybe initially when he came to Rangers, he didn't be entirely comfortable in that role. I think he looks really, really happy and comfortable in it. And through that, you're seeing a real uplift in his performances.
It's the challenge of life in the Glasgow Goldfish Bowl, Simon, because I still feel, and Ian can correct me if I'm wrong, I still feel like it's only been a couple of weeks since somebody would have called or tweeted in criticising John Lundstram for some sort of domestic performance. Maybe there is something about the Thursday nights that suit him, and you have to just, I guess it's tough, you just need to keep doing it all the time.
Well, I think he was one of the top performers on the way to the final, you know, a couple of seasons ago, and for whatever reason his form hadn't been. I think you have to give the current manager credit. I think the last caller, Dale, was talking about the last 3, 4, 5 years or whatever it was, but I think for the last 15, 16 games or whatever since Clement came in, you've got to give him the credit. He's got the results. He's got the results that were demanded of the previous manager. It ultimately cost him his job. And Kenny will tell you, sometimes when it's a new guy at the helm, it might be a quiet word with Lundstram. It might be, you know, getting in there, putting the arm around him, something like that, man management. It might get the best out of him. It certainly seems to be the case at the moment. But I think you have to give the current manager the credit. You know, he's come into a job which, you know, if you're talking about Lundstram's form wobbling, I think Rangers obviously were at the time, and he's turned it around quite quickly.
The type of performance, Ian, how much would you like him to stay beyond the end of this season? Because I know there's been, from a financial perspective as well, comments made at the AGM about, you know, some big earners coming to the end of their contracts, and whether that means money can be spent elsewhere. Lundstram would be one of them, but I take it you want him to stay?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at his form, and especially in these big games, I think if you look at his performance last night, how composed he was in the ball, I think he mixed things up really well. He spread the ball really well. And it was the first time since maybe a couple of seasons ago en route to the final that I looked at his performance and thought, if you remember how he played against Borussia Dortmund, I just thought it was very, very similar. Maybe playing in a little bit of a deeper role. But when you've got players like Ryan Jack who are out, Stephen Davis is out long term, and Nico Raskin's out quite a bit, if you have a player with that kind of composure, who can control the ball and spread it, then I think you do need to hang on to him. I think he is only 29 as well, so he's not at an age where you'd start to think maybe we move him on. So I think I'd like to see him extend his contract towards the end of the season.
Listen, I think there's a lot of questions that kind of surround. I think on form, the one thing I'll say, like Simon's right, the manager deserves a lot of credit, because I don't think it's only John Lundstram. I mean, I even look at someone like Leon Balogun, who comes into the team, couldn't get anywhere near the team under the manager who signed him. Mm-hmm. And then new manager comes in and plays him and looks like he's the number one.
Seymour's goal scoring, is that not kicked off round about that time.
I think he had already done it at the end of Michael's time before he was in a good run.
Scoring a goal a game.
He's on 14 goals.
Yeah, it's incredible. He made it to this stage. Not spoken about him yet. Yeah. I know on a night like that, you end up going through everybody because they all play their part. But another goal again. Impressive stuff. Thank you to Ian. Thanks to Matondo. He sent that coefficient table that Dale, the previous caller, was referring to, and it is, it's those most coefficient points for their country in the last five seasons, and he's bang on with his assessment on that one. Let me, before we go any further, tell you about this.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
Big thank you to Arnold Clark, because they have teamed up with us here at Clyde One and Cash for Kids to give you an unbelievable prize to win, a brand new BMW 1 Series. I've been talking about this for nights and nights now, for very good reason, because it is that brand new car that you could win. It's a lovely car, it has to be said, and not only could you be driving away in said car, but you've got the chance to make a difference to local children at the same time. Basically, how you get involved, it couldn't be much simpler. Text CAR to 84901, C-A-R to 84901. The text costs a standard network rate message plus a voluntary £5 donation to Cash for Kids. So we are talking £5, every penny of that, just going out to help children in our communities that need clothes or heating or food or whatever it may be at this time of year when it's a really tough time for a lot of people. You're in the draw and the brand new car could be yours. The entries close at 6 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday the 16th of December. Don't let this pass you by. Don't leave it until the last minute and forget to do it. It's over 18s only. Full T's and C's at Clyde1.com, and you can text CAR to 84901.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Simon Donnelly are about to be joined, at least through the speakers, by Philippe Clement. He says Cyril Dessers has been putting in the hard work, thinks his goal will give him every confidence. He was also happy with Sam Lammers' contribution and wants people to judge them on their future, not their past.
No, not only the goal, also the work he did. Cyril was one of the guys on the plane that I spoke with the videos to improve things, and you see he's really working hard to do the things how we want it, how we want the striker to play. He stepped into the story, he's working hard for the team, and then you get the chances to score. And then you get the confidence of your teammates and of your coach. So I'm really pleased about him. Also, Sam had a lot of stick last couple of months, I hear. He played for me also, really good game. So the past is the past. All the things that happened weeks or months ago, it's not important. It's about the story. We're going to continue in the next weeks and the next months.
On the plane? You ever been summoned up to watch clips with the manager on the plane? Did I hear that right?
You did hear that right. And again, I actually heard it before the game as well, that there'd been potentially a little bit of analysis work done on the plane with
certain
players.
Never stops, I like it.
I think when you've got limited time, that when you're going to game to game the way Rangers are at the moment, you've got to try and utilise every moment you've got. I think he referenced it, he wasn't the only one. He was looking at and showing them certain things for the game that can improve performance.
Obviously, last night speaks for itself. The achievement is you get through to the last 16 and you get the money and all that sort of stuff. But see that stuff that you can't put your finger on, you know, about kind of confidence, momentum and belief, all that sort of stuff. How important was it? Because this was the week that we found out Danilo's going to be out for months. Had Cyril Dessers had an absolute stinker last night, that then snowballs that argument, doesn't it? And Rangers fans panic even more about what the striking situation is going to look like. It fills everyone with dread ahead of Sunday and so on. Like, so how important was that for him to contribute in that way last night?
Listen, it was a big opportunity for him on a big night, and he stepped up with his goal. Listen, it's Philippe Clement's job to build these guys up and to give them confidence and to try and give them belief. One performance is not going to change the Rangers fans' view, or guys like us who are now giving the game the autopsy. You know, he done well, his goal was excellent. Everybody contributed in their own way last night, but that needs to be continually getting better and it needs to be more consistent. Mm. You know, and that's why last night you're hoping is going to kickstart Cyril Dessers, because he is going to be the guy at the moment. Kamar Roof, again, he's coming back to fitness, but how fit is he? How long will he stay fit? It's going to be between these two guys who leads the line on Sunday.
I suppose the good thing is the psychology of management, Simon, trying to manage that situation. It's a good opportunity to come out and praise Sam Lammers, yeah, because last night's mostly about the positives. Nobody's going to dwell on the negatives. I think if you asked Rangers fans individually in isolation, I'm not sure if they would agree that Sam, yeah, Lammers was really good last night, but it doesn't really matter. And then it's a chance to build, maybe build that, his confidence
exactly
as well.
That's exactly what it is. And as I said earlier on, I think he has to take a lot of credit. I touched on Lundstrom suggesting that might have been a conversation that's subsequently got getting the best performances out of Lundstrom. Dessers last night, it's got to help him. That finish has got to help him. It's not as if he's popped up and scored the fourth goal at home against somebody in the league. He scored an important goal the way he took it. Composure, I think that raised everybody's eyebrows, because the guy has came under a lot of stick, you know, in his young kind of career at Rangers and his few months at the club. But he took that with a hell of a lot of composure. That has got to help. But little things like that, as you know, we can speculate, but I think that is the case. He's getting a tune out of more players than the previous manager.
Go on then, Graham in Bells Hill, sum up how impressed you were last night.
Hi, good evening, Jez. Nice to speak to you again.
And you?
It was fantastic last night. I think we all went in feeling that this was going to be our biggest challenge so far of the season. You know, I think that the guys really, really stepped up. I was very impressed. Just talking about Dessers there, I actually take a bit of stick for the guys in the main stand next to me, because I've always said there's a player in Dessers, and I think he just needed a goal or two to start that confidence. You know, Kenny will tell you, striking's all about confidence, and so I'm really hoping that Dessers will kick on now, because I actually think there was a player in them. But last night, yeah, they were fantastic. Mm.
Look, Kenny, that may be the case. Graham's got the faith and we find out. The only thing you would say that might challenge that at the moment is Dessers' numbers aren't actually terrible. They're not horrific. They never have been. If you look at goal contributions, like I say, it's never been awful. I actually feel like most Rangers fans are probably looking more for the kind of all-round impact or performance rather than a drastic improvement in the numbers. Is that not the case?
I think that's bang on, because I think that's 8 goals in, what is it, 27 or 28 appearances, which isn't bad. They've all not been starts as well, so he's contributed some important goals as well, match winning goals. I mean, last night was a big, big goal on the way to a top victory. It's probably been the more all round stuff, the untidiness, the sloppiness sometimes of the link up play, by the way, the missed chances. There's been a lot of missed chances in there as well, and that's a striker's job. You need to keep putting yourself in there, and I would say he has done that. But it's just looking for just an improvement in pretty much the all round performance. And by the way, it needs to be. There actually needs to be, like, take nothing away for the goals that you say. It's not drastic to be sitting with 8 goals at this stage of the season, absolutely not. But it's been the general nature of his play. Sometimes even the kind of body language and things, I think, as well. Again, but I put that down to more a lack of confidence than actually
I think he's been feeling the pressure. The games
absolutely
that I watched,
has.
You know, he's been aware of the stick. I think he commented on it himself. Mm-hmm. He was aware of the stick, the criticism he was getting. I think that's affected him to try and handle the pressure. And I have to say that the goal, the way he took it last night, that has to help his confidence going forward.
Graham, Rangers have given it a really good go at various points in Europe over the last few seasons. Sum up how big this achievement is.
Yeah, well, it is a massive achievement, but I hope we don't get ahead of ourselves. But the main point I wanted to talk about that nobody's really talking about now is by finishing first and qualifying and straight into the last 16 instead of finishing second or third, we've now eradicated a whole round, and you know, we're not now playing 3 games a week until the 7th of March when it kicks off again. And I'm wondering if that's going to have a good knock-on effect in our league form, the fact that we can maybe help recover some players that are injured. And not to have a dig at my rivals in any way, but obviously Celtic are out of Europe, so they won't be doing the same. They won't be playing the 3 a week either. So I think it's actually huge, the fact that we are skipping the next round almost and going straight into the last 16. I'm wondering what you guys think about that and how that could impact the league form.
Well, listen, we have touched on it. Again, it is important that you're getting that, you are missing that round, particularly probably the time it is. You're just going to, I think the teams will just be back into the swing of things after the break. And it gives you a chance to really focus on, obviously Scottish Cup comes on kind of around about that time as well, but it gives you a real chance to focus on that league. I mean, what I would say is I think Rangers are coping pretty well with it at the moment under Philippe Clement. I think they've only dropped points out of Aberdeen. He's unbeaten after his 13-14 games, so things are going pretty well in that regard. But that's the business end of the season when you're going to be involved in these games. So it's I get what you're saying. I think when you, the immediate focus now shifts to Sunday, which is a cup, it's a chance to put the silverware in the trophy cabinet, in the first silverware. It's the first silverware for some players at Rangers. It's going to be the first silverware for the manager and his staff. So it's a big chance. And then you've got league games, which now you've found yourself back in a live league title race at this moment in time, and it's important you keep that momentum up.
And to be cynical about it, and tongue in cheek slightly, I like Graham's optimism that that'll help the injuries clear up, because the injuries never seem to clear up.
No, they don't, you know, and that's, it has been a source of frustration by the sounds of it from Philippe Clement. He's wanting to kind of really dig deep to find out the source of the problems, because it is big players that Rangers can't really be affording to lose, like, long term. But again, like I say, this team at this moment in time are finding a way to get results and continually win.
Thank you very much. That was Graham on the line on that usual number. Let's hear a bit from Philippe Clement on Kemar Roof. No, in fact, it is Kemar Roof we're going to hear from. My apologies. He says he wants to make it to another Europa League final. He thinks their experience in the competition can help, and hopes he's come back stronger from his injury.
I never doubt myself. I think that's why I keep, unfortunately, have injuries, come back, and hopefully I show that I don't come back any worse. I'll come back as a better player every time I come back, and I'll keep doing it. And that just comes down to the desire of me wanting to keep bettering myself. You know what? Thursday nights is always special at this place. I don't know what it is. There's just something about it. And we keep showing up, and so far we're delivering. Hopefully we can get to the final again. But yeah, it's special. The history that we've had so far definitely helps, the belief and the confidence and the know-how and experience. Everyone talks about experience in football, and we've got that in this tournament. We know how to play the 3 games a week and also travel, get a result, get a performance.
3 games a week, that's nothing. We play 5 games a week of Beat the Pundit, so let's do it tonight.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh, it's been up and down this week. 2-2.
Oh, hello. Ooh. It's got to that critical moment again at the end of the week.
Who lost?
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL teaming up to great effect on separate nights, obviously. So if you want to come and try and win it for the listeners this week, there's an extra special achievement attached to that signed ball. It's 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Simon Donnelly are here at 01419511025. As you would expect, lots being said about Rangers' victory and group topping performance last night. If you want to keep that going, you can do. We've actually not really got on yet to what it means about Sunday and who plays and who doesn't, and the fact that Aberdeen had a brilliant result as well. Yes, a dead rubber, but I don't think we're in a position to start taking anything away from wins like that against teams like Eintracht Frankfurt. So how do you feel about the weekend? Celtic fans, you've got big league business to take care of. If you get your thoughts in right now, we'll hear from you and Brendan Rodgers. No, it won't be. That's a lie. It's John Kennedy on media duties today, but we'll do that after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is finally poised, right in the balance. Listeners to Pundits 2 this week on Beat the Pundit. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL both lost. That means that tonight is the decider. Terry is in the south side. How's it going, Terry? Oh, Terry sounds quiet. Can we turn Terry up? Can you hear me, Terry? Oh no, no. Terry sounds like he's in the south side of
Don't want any
Mexico
excuses now.
Something's miles away. Let's see if we can clear that up. I'll let the producers do their thing. Just adds to the sense of drama, doesn't he?
He doesn't want it. That's what it is.
It's been quite the week on Beat the Pundit. Did you hear about Mark Wilson's faux pas?
No.
Right, so it was actually a really good game, to be fair. It was 5-5, and the listener was really good. Mark was quite good as well. And the question was, to the nearest year, what's the average age of players in the Scottish Premiership? So for what it's worth, the answer was 27.
Right.
But Mark wrote down 2000.
Okay.
Because he thought it meant like year of birth.
Yeah. Well, that would be 23 anyway, so he's not.
Exactly, right, but so it was quite something, it has to be said.
But I could give you a wee one about Andy Halliday as well. So I've seen him after that debacle of what went on that night where he was questioning the thing. When Rangers were playing Hearts, I've seen him.
It's always on his mind.
First thing he says to me, did you hear that on Monday night or whatever night it was he was on? It was a shambles. Telling but mate, I still won though. I still won.
They take it very seriously, Terry. How are you now? Let's hear you.
Hi, sorry about that guy.
Better. Oh, your fault. Not your fault, Terry. You're back. 30 seconds about to go on the clock. Let's find out your opponent though. Heads it will be Kenny Miller, who, by the way, I don't know what's going on with him. He's drinking about 7 litres of water. He's been to the toilet 5 times. So if he has to go during Beat the Pundit, Simon will take over. And it is as well. Can you hold it in for the next 30 seconds?
Now. I'm good for the next hour now.
That's heads. That's what it is. It's Kenny against Terry. So we'll give Kenny some greatest hits radio to listen to, and that way he can't hear what's going on. You've got 30 seconds, Terry. Just answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and move on, that's fine by me, okay? Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. What English club was Jack Butland on loan at last season?
Manchester United.
What type of animal is Hearts' mascot?
Pass.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Shankland or Nesbitt?
Nesbitt.
Which current Scotland international connects Dundee, Celtic and Club Bruges?
Jack Henry.
Stuart Petrie is the current manager of which SPFL team? Stuart Petrie, manager of which SPFL team?
Falkirk.
In alphabetical order, who comes last in the Scottish Premiership?
St Mirren.
Okay, let's bring Kenny back. Are you ready? Are you still unbeaten this season?
Oh God, then turn it in, will you?
No, but it's been a few. I feel like you've been on different nights. It's thrown me off.
Aye.
I just wanted to hear you say it right, okay. 30 seconds on the clock to Kenny Miller, and his time starts now. What English club was Jack Butland on loan at last season?
Crystal Palace.
What type of animal is Hearts' mascot?
Pass.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Shankland or Nesbitt?
Nesbitt.
What current Scotland international connects Dundee, Celtic and Club Bruges?
Jack Henry.
Stuart Petrie is the manager of which SPFL team?
Montrose.
In alphabetical order, who comes last in the Scottish Premiership?
St Mirren.
Who's top of the Scottish Championship?
Raith Rovers.
And what Scotland international is the current captain of Fulham?
Tom Kearney.
Terry, this is about speed versus accuracy. We know that Miller was a runner in his day. He got through more questions, but you sounded confident as well. Do you think you've done enough?
I don't know, we'll see.
Oh, that was a good game. I like that.
Man United first. I know, was rubbish. I know.
But anyway, you didn't let it rattle you though.
Eh? Nah,
you recovered. That's the important. You recovered well.
Sports psychologists everywhere will be doing deep dives into the, because there is a thought out there that getting the first question wrong is a real damager on Beat the Pundit. But you knew you had it wrong and Terry got it right. That's when I knew we had the game in our hands. Man United was Jack Butland's lone club last season. The Hearts mascot is
Jam Tartner.
Jock the Jambo is a Scotty dog.
Alright.
No,
okay.
There you go.
It's
so still 1-0. Kevin Nisbet does have more Scotland caps and you both got it. Ooh. Well done. Because I mean, obviously it's the right answer, but I still thought you were going to say Shankland. I can't really explain that. Maybe because he's been in the squads more recently.
Never gets a game though, so it's hard to win Nisbet.
Well, there is that. So it's 2-1 to Terry in the south side. You both knew that Jack Henry is the player that connects Dundee, Celtic and Club Bruges. So still Terry's one in front. Stuart Petrie is the manager of Montrose.
Yep.
Equaliser. Yep. Kenny Miller, last in the table alphabetically, is St Mirren. Both got it. Still level.
Unbelievable.
But
are the guns coming out? Sorry, that's the question.
You finished strong.
Terry ran out of time. Raith Rovers are top of the championship, and Tom Kearney is the captain of Fulham.
Comfortable win.
I'm devastated for you, Terry. That was very well done, but you still get a bit of pace left, even at 50 or whatever age he is now. Hard lines, Terry.
Yes, Terry. All done.
Good man. What are you thinking about your team? What are you thinking about your? Oh, listen. I like you, Terry. You're polite. You can stay and talk football with us. What are you thinking about Celtic tomorrow?
I fancy a 3 or 4 tomorrow.
Oh, confident.
Positive. I think the confidence will be high after getting my first win in 10 years at the old Champions League. So,
well, there is a bit of that, because again, this does feed into what midweek meant, Simon. Mostly it was about the Champions League, quite clearly, right?
Yeah.
But that's why there's no such thing as like a completely meaningless dead rubber. Had Celtic lost to Kilmarnock, then lost at home 100%. To Feyenoord, tonight's tone feels very different. Tomorrow's crowd turn up feeling very different, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it was described as a dead rubber, but as I said, there was a financial gain there. But more than that, I think it was a bit of pride. You know, the Celtic fans were out there wanting a performance, wanting a win. And as you quite rightly said, I was down at Rugby Park and covered the game last week. It was a huge disappointment, particularly the second half. So to get the win during the week, it gives a wee bit of feel-good factor that Terry's feeding off there as well. Quite optimistic, you know, wanting a 3-4-0 win tomorrow. I think Celtic will need to be at it. They were, as I said, disappointing in the second half at Rugby Park. They have to bounce back from that and put a similar performance into the Hibs game before that, because, you know, that gap is 5, but Rangers have got the game in hand. So we have to, you know, go on a run now and build, and they'll certainly take some confidence from the European win the other night.
Yeah, listen, I think Celtic, I mean, again, at home, they're always going to be firm favourites. They've had a wonderful result through the, and it's important they did bounce back, because that was a really poor second half it's dropped points, yeah, as well, and it just, you know what, it just brings Rangers back into it. There's definitely, as much as Celtic ahead, I think momentum is with Rangers at this moment in time. Again, they've had their own good result through the week as well. So Celtic, it's important that, yeah, they've bounced back and they've got a wonderful Champions League win. It's important they bounce back in the league as well and get back to winning ways and 3 points on the board.
Because
yeah,
it would have been that, wouldn't it? It would have been, we saw the reaction to Kilmarnock, and it's definitely all understandable. It would have been quite a frosty build up to this one.
Listen, Gordon, that's how it works. That's how football works, particularly the size of the clubs. You know, there's always a pressure on you. As I said, I covered the game down at Rugby Park last week. They get themselves in front. I didn't see that second half performance coming. You have to give Kilmarnock huge credit. You know, Derek McInnes has went in at half time and got a reaction out of his team that went on and deservedly won the game. But it just puts that pressure on again. You know, you're two games away from an absolute crisis. So to bounce back, and as Terry said, it gets that wee monkey off the back as well in terms of the Champions League. They get a win, the feel-good factor's there, and you have to take that into the performance tomorrow.
Let's hear a bit from, and I false advertised earlier, my apologies. I mean, it's usually Brendan Rodgers, but of course, every now and then, when it's been back-to-back or wall-to-wall press conferences, assistant managers will take over. John Kennedy says that Cameron Carter, Vickers and Dyson Maeda are available for tomorrow's game after injury. He says Maeda's return is a big boost for the team's attack.
The game we want to play, we want to be, you know, as fast and keep the intensity of the game up as much as we can. And Dyson, as you all know, he kind of triggers a lot of that for us, you know, in terms of he shuts down the time teams get to set up attacks, you know, in terms of even if a team want to play direct, he can get to the ball without them being able to play accurate long balls. But on the flip side of that, in terms of how he attacks the back line and penetrates any sort of space the opposition leave. So having speed in our team is really important. It's an important aspect. And I think when he's not there, you recognise that. You know, you sometimes lack in certain areas of the game. So it's great to have him back.
How big a boost is that, Simon?
Yeah, he's been a big player since his time at the club. You know, John touches on it there. He brings huge energy to the team. Sometimes he can maybe show a wee bit more composure. I think we've said on the show before, if he did have that little bit, he'd maybe not be at Celtic, because he's got everything else to his game. His work rate's phenomenal, and it really does affect the team positively. So it's nice to see him back. Carter Vickers, obviously, close to being back as well. These guys are big players, you know, over the last couple of seasons of success at Celtic, so it's important to get them back.
I think, just if we're talking about specific criticisms, Kenny, something we keep hearing in the last few weeks when things haven't been great for Celtic is that there's a lack of intensity or a lack of energy. So you just know that Maeda brings that. Whatever, as Simon says, whatever's missing elsewhere, that's the constant.
And it's both sides of the game as well. It's not just in the ball and in terms of their attack and play. It's how he can press. It's his work ethic. It's his tracking back and helping out defending. But again, John Kennedy talking about that penetration, the back line. That's what he gives, you know, because he's like Seema to that extent. They want the ball
behind. They want to run. They want to show their pace.
They want to use the assets that they've got. And that's what Dyson Maeda has got. I think his movement off that left-hand side is really, really good. He's always there available to take it, but he recognises the right time to spin and attack back lines. And you know, he wants to get goals. He wants to get in the box. But he brings that intensity. He brings that energy to the team. And it's something, you know what? There's probably no other player in the league that actually does it to the level that he does it. So you're obviously going to miss that in your team.
Even just from like an options, you know, a numbers perspective, because there's been a real debate a lot about Mikey Johnson and Yang and whether they're good enough, and then if he, in fact both of them, not only are they good enough right now, but what does it say about the club's recruitment? Why is Yang being signed if he's not good enough? Why is Mikey Johnson still playing? So even just for more options in those areas must be beneficial.
Yeah, he's different to those two completely. And he poses questions on the back line. I've always thought since he's been at the club for the 2 years or so he's been there, I'd hate to play against him. I really would, because he just wants to go in behind time and time again. Add to that the defensive qualities he's got. You know, his work ethic is not, you know, it's on its own. His work rate is incredible. And as I say, he brings something different to the other two, and he's obviously ahead of those two if he's fit. So it brings something to the Celtic front line. I think it makes it stronger.
Straight in tomorrow or managed?
It depends. It depends on the fitness. I mean, you've got sports science and everything nowadays. I'd imagine he'll be back there with a view to start. It depends. I'm not sure if he'll start the game.
Busy period coming up, I suppose. Joseph's a Celtic fan. How are you, Joseph?
Good evening, Gordon, Kenny and Simon. I was watching the game last night, Gordon, and I thought they were absolutely fantastic. Deserved to win. All the best to them. But I want to know about wee Simon, because I was listening to Pep Guardiola talking a couple of minutes ago about how good Rangers are and all that. But let him do what he wants. He can talk what he wants. But I was going to ask Simon, are there any news on Abada?
In terms of when
you're coming back,
I think John Kennedy said himself today that he's still a couple of weeks away.
Is he one that you're thinking is a particular miss at the moment, Joseph?
Honestly, Gordon, he's one of my favourite players, man. The guy's dangerous.
Certainly very productive. We know we've seen that, haven't we, Kenny, over the time, and that would go linked into the Maeda conversation. Just more options in that area.
I think that's your first choice too. If Celtic were playing a cup final tomorrow or an Old Firm or any big game, I think it would be Maeda on one side and Abada on the other. I really like Abada. Obviously, he's still a really young player.
Still not Palmer then. Not done enough yet.
Listen, I think he's a good. He's different. He's a different type of player. So if you're talking energy and intensity and pace and that kind of real. Like fullbacks don't want to be kind of playing against anybody with real pace. I don't think Palmer's got that same level of pace. I like Abada. I think he's so direct. He's so hungry to score goals. He gets in the box at the back post when the ball's on the opposite side. He just puts defenders on the back foot by how direct he is in his pace. So I think that's Celtic's first choice too. I think that was the first choice too at the start of the season. Unfortunately, they've been missing for quite a bit now.
Where's Luis Palma in this, Simon?
I don't know if I go with Kenny.
Which one are you leaving out?
I think if everybody was fit just now, I'd possibly leave Abada out.
Joseph, how big a boost is it to have Maeda back?
Brilliant. It's especially the Rangers again coming up, because he'll be right up for the cellar. Don't worry about that.
I'm not worried at all. I'm sure he will be.
I'm not saying you.
Shouldn't be worried. I get it in the end. That is going to be it, because we do this. We've been doing this for weeks. Everybody. No, I don't mean you, Joseph. to reverse it. I'm talking to Simon and Kenny generally. We always look at the 30th. Because that's what you do. There's a lot can happen before then, of course. Rangers might or might not have silverware. That's going to put an entirely different spin on things.
Some
tough fixtures in there as well.
Three, of course, Boxing Day.
But that's it. That's the mindset now, isn't it? I think once you're in mid-December, that race is on.
The games, listen, Kenny will tell you, the games in between are hugely significant as well. I mean, the final for Rangers on Sunday is massive. Celtic have a chance tomorrow to increase that gap if they win, albeit they've maybe played a couple of games more. But there's three games before the two of them meet.
I think that's what John Kennedy was trying to get across today, because he said, you know, kind of reminding the players just to focus on performances and not really worry about that pressure that comes about points.
Again, that's the one we don't want to get too caught up in, you know, what's the gap now, and you know, we need the points, everything else. We just concentrate on, you know, what makes us a good side. Because when we come away from that and we start thinking too much, you know, that's when things slow down, that's when you start second guessing yourself. So for us, it's just full commitment to the way we play. We know if we do that properly, more often than not, we'll bring results, which brings the points, which then gives you your lead that you've obviously set with at the moment.
That's perfectly fine, John, but to us, we can talk about gaps all day long.
And we will as well.
You know, we've said that numerous times in different, whether it's even somebody plays Saturday, somebody plays Sunday, somebody plays lunchtime,
yeah,
somebody plays later. I said before, you can't polish this. Celtic would rather be in the League Cup final, but yeah, at the same time, fine, you take it for what it is. You try and get the points on the board. Everybody knows that's better or more desirable than games in hand, and put the pressure on that way. I take it that's the only option available.
And also, they would rather be 2 points ahead, 5 points ahead, than 2 points behind, 5 points. So, yep, so the gap's important. You work hard to get it. You work hard to get the lead. It's always hard to maintain that. You know, you're always going to have another team chasing you down hard. Again, everybody, whether they like to admit it or not, you always look at all around. You always look at the next result. You know it's coming. You know, and like you say, it's always earlier or later or the day before or the day after. I mean, what Celtic have got is actually an opportunity tomorrow to extend it and get the points in the bag. I think they have the same next weekend as well. They play on the Saturday, Rangers play on the Sunday.
Yep.
So they've got the opportunities to really assert the pressure on the Rangers. You know, what it does is, if they don't, Rangers now have got the pressure to gain in the title race. So it's important. Celtic have got the lead at the moment, and they've earned it. You know, they've got a big game tomorrow where they can go and extend it against a good team, by the way. Hearts are a good team, so it won't be easy.
Celtic fans, Hearts fans, what are you thinking? 01419511025. Get your calls in. We'll try and speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. Or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Before we do anything else, let me give you this question.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Right, it is a very topical, very straightforward, and I actually think it's one that Kenny Miller will eat up. So maybe we'll test Simon so Donnelly's knowledge and then you can help him. Can you name the last 10 Rangers players to score in a League Cup final? Thanks to Michael Tain for sending this in. The last 10 Rangers players to score in a League Cup final. Aberdeen fans, I had a wee look. I thought we'll involve Aberdeen in this question, but for all those League Cup finals you've played in recent times, there's always been a nil attached, unfortunately. So who were the last 10 Rangers players to score in a League Cup final? Simon Donnelly.
Novel.
Yes, well done. Oh great, we're going to have to do a few for that game, aren't we? Just to remind me.
Oh, was it against you?
Might have been a convincing one.
Jelavic.
Yep.
Davis.
Uh-huh. From
this,
the same.
Is this all for the one game?
No, those two are from the same game. And go on, get the obvious out of the way. Come on.
Mate.
Yep, you. Okay. St Mirren 0, Rangers 1, 2010. Quite a significant one. Is that the cup final you talk about most?
Aye.
Yeah?
Yep.
That'd be like the standout one?
Yep. Down to nine men against St Mirren.
Yep.
2010.
Yeah. What was that like? It was hard.
It was really, really hard to be 9 men. Like, there was, I mean, you were actually up at a point where you're not playing a position as an attacker.
Yep.
Defenders are still obviously doing the defensive stuff in the air, but as an attacker, you're having to get back and actually defend and try and plug gaps. That's a big old pitch that Hamden to be down to, like, have one man down, never mind two. But yeah, luckily enough on the day, it went our way.
Was the pitch heavy as well? I feel like watching it.
I think it felt right. Maybe just my heavy legs trying to run forward at the end because it was an absolute shift.
Yeah, there is a bit of that. That's the one Walter Smith makes the.
Yep.
That's the kind of famous image, isn't it? Remind me of the circumstances.
Well, what he done was, I think he allowed Kenny McDowell and Alan McCoys to kind of take the team, and I think when it was Danny Wilson got sent off second, He came down for his seat and he took charge, and he was literally on directing traffic and pulling us in, and put, I think I must have been across speaking to him about 3 or 4, and he's like, you need to do this, you need to get that, you need to get back in, and like, we're trying, but you know, it went our way. And I do actually love the camera when it goes to the gaffer on the side when I'm actually heading it. He kind of heads it,
yeah,
when
he does, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and then obviously all celebrations kick off.
One of your defining sort of memories of him.
Yeah, listen,
in terms
like, there's so
know, like,
many
impact
in terms,
on a game think, or whatever.
Well, definitely in terms of the impact on a game. I think there's so many people have got stories over how he done certain things to the games. I mean, obviously impact is so much more, like as a player and as a human
sure.
being as well, off the field and things. But that day as well, again, it just because you're down to 9 men, it's not a regular occurrence. I think over my career it was twice it happened.
Yep.
and it's tough.
In a final,
you know,
as well.
But in a cup final, where, by the way, again, I've told this story a million times, we had an opportunity. I think Celtic had been knocked out of the Scottish Cup because that was a March final. This wasn't in the December, kind of November time. It was the March final. We actually went out in a replay of the Scottish Cup to Dundee United that week, because I think Celtic were already out, so there was chat at a treble. We were 3-1 up at Ibrox, actually, against Dundee United, and they scored two late goals, took us up to Tannadice, and we lost. I think we lost 2-1 or something. And then we were down to 9 men in the cup final. You're thinking, all of a sudden, you've been talking about trebles.
Yeah.
Now you're going to be lucky if you just, I mean, the league was done that. We were well ahead in the league that year. But you think you might only be left with a league here. But luckily enough, we got that goal late on and we won both.
Well, Stuart is a Rangers fan. It doesn't matter much where he's from because he's still in Seville, I think. Stuart, is that right?
Hi, Gordon. Yeah, I'm still in Seville, mate. I'm just at the airport just now.
Is it nice to have a good football memory to bring back from Seville? Obviously, Rangers had issues there. Celtic have. The Scotland team couldn't even do it recently as well. So, a nice change this time.
Yeah, I was a bit into it about coming back, to be honest. Like, I was here for the final. I was at the stadium for the final. But, this one feels sweet. Especially the way the game went as well. It makes it so much better, doesn't it? It's just such a brilliant game too.
Yeah, did it feel that way in the stadium? We've obviously had most calls from people who watched on at home. What was the feeling like over there? And, you know, even before the game, were you a bit sort of, well, I don't know, you tell me, what was the mood before the game? Did you expect the night that you then had in store?
So I came across my two brother-in-laws, so the three of us were talking before the game. Weren't really expecting the result. Obviously, hoping for the best. Like, we want to go into the game, win every game. That's just what you want to do. But, yeah, we're just hoping for the best. So I kind of thought if we got away with a draw, it would be okay. But obviously, we don't really want to drop into the conference. Obviously, we want to stay in the Europa League. So we knew, like, it was kind of win or bust for us. But, I mean, like, for me, see when Desser scored that goal, I was like, what is going on here? Do you know what I mean? Like, no one expected that, did they?
Have you been a Desser's critic, a Desser's defender? Or, you know, how would you describe what it's been like this season?
I wasn't keen on him. No, I didn't think he was. I just didn't think he was for us. I just thought, like, maybe there's a player in there, and maybe he is a good player, but he's just not, the chemistry's not right, or it's just not linking up right. Do you know what I mean? There was just one of them, I wasn't quite sure. But, when he did that last night, I thought, whoa, what's going on here, man? Hopefully we see more of that on Sunday, you know?
The criticism, Kenny's been, the detailed criticism, we've spoken about it many times, is what type of player even is he? You know, it's fine having good games, bad games, but what are the strengths? What are the attributes? So to take the goal in the way that he did, I wonder if that, I don't know, everybody, maybe it was a good fortune, or is that a sign of things to come? Is that the type of player that he can maybe be? Is it too early for that stuff?
No, like I say, I would not get carried away with a net. It was a wonderful goal. You know, I've seen him do that type of thing earlier in the season as well, where it's been more on the other side, where he was kind of looking to shoot on his right, coming in for the other side and chopping back in on his left. Like, it's a fake shot, you know, you're hoping for the defender to slide and buy it. Last night it did, and then he had the composure actually to kind of line it back up, set it back up on his right foot, and then pass it under the goalkeeper's legs. But what I've also seen is a number of times he's been in that situation, league games. I think St Mirren was one, Livingston, he never showed the confidence and the belief that he showed last night. So I think I'm like everybody and all the fans, and probably hopefully Philippe Clement as well, hopefully that can kick him on. You know, he can kick him on and he can take real belief that, because there's a cup final on Sunday. What an opportunity to go make yourself a hero and maybe start to kind of turn the fans that have been criticising you over the course of the season.
Let's try and make it about Sunday for the first time, Stuart. How does this all kind of set you up for the weekend?
Oh, it's a huge confidence boost, isn't it? Especially for Desers as well, because I bet I'm not the only one that was a bit of a critic of him, and I bet there's a lot of people out there thinking that this guy's not good enough, he's not dangerous quality. But composure he showed for me, it's all about the composure there to take that and beat those two guys, send them to the shop, and then just make the keeper as well, right for the keeper's legs. What more could you want? So yeah, I think that's a great confidence boost for himself and for the team as well, to come away with a result when, like you said to me at the start of the call there, the memories we've got from Seville are terrible, aren't they? They're absolutely shocking. So, that's a great memory, and hopefully the boys enjoyed it. And I'll be honest, I'm pretty sure you might not have seen this on the camera. I don't know if you had Gabs or Andy was out here watching the game, but do you know, was Jack Butland, did he have a wee tear in his eye at the end of the game when we were singing his song? Because to me, it certainly looked like he did.
Oh, good question. I don't know. Andrew was there. I didn't ask him about tier watch, but one thing's for sure, he's been important as well, Kenny, hasn't he? We don't really need to mention him as much tonight because he's had a lot of praise, but he's obviously been a key part of it so far.
He's been a massive part. Anytime saves have needed to be made, he's made them. You know, like, he's made a few big saves, but I just think it's not just about his ability as a goalkeeper. I think as a player and as a person within the dressing room, as a leader, demanding the right things. You see him even when he's not involved in the game, like, he takes charge, when he manages things really, really well towards the end of the games. If he's winning and you see guys trying to, you know, he's like, calm down, up the field, it's at the end, we're winning, we need to make sure we get the points and get the result. I just think he's been a really positive influence on the rest of the team.
Does Aberdeen's result in Europe last night, Stuart, do you take any notice of that? Does that, you know, does that play into what you said about Rangers? They're set up well for it. How do you feel about Sunday from Aberdeen as a challenger?
I didn't see the result yesterday, mate, I'll be honest. We arrived to Seville first thing yesterday morning, and then it was a case of dump the bags in the hotel and get out.
He's a few cervezas deep by then, isn't he? He's on the sangria by that point. They beat Eintracht Frankfurt 2-0, in case you hadn't heard by now. Which... it was mad.
Any of the players get injured, Gordon?
Well, you know, this is the thing, and you'll think I'm on the survey, says Aberdeen reserves beat Eintracht Frankfurt 2-0 because they made eight changes. Bizarre and brilliant, though, you know, for them, wasn't it? So it feels like it's nice to have two teams going into a final feeling good about themselves, Simon.
It's set up nicely. We said at the top of the show, both teams will take huge confidence. And as I said earlier, I watched a few Aberdeen's performances in Europe, and they've been okay. They've been decent.
They've been in every game, haven't they? They've been competitive in every game.
Yeah, they've been behind the last game at Helsinki. They went behind, but they pegged it back. Majovski, you know, would be a big miss if he wasn't fit. Obviously, that goes without saying. But the two strikers scored last night, so I think they'll go in and find Fettle as well. Rangers, I think Rangers are obviously the heavy favourites, but I think both teams can take something from the results, you know, midweek.
The only real difference, well, you know, we don't, maybe players coming back, but in terms of dropping out, Stuart, Cifuentes, we know he's suspended. Did Rangers find their solution to that last night then?
Yeah, I think Sterling played well last night when he came on. Obviously, Cifuentes started and then he came off at half time and come on. I'm pretty sure said in his interview after he's taken a bit of a knock as well, so interesting to see what happens with that. But I thought Sterling played really well when he came on. The biggest, I mean, if I'm going to say there was a frustration yesterday, the frustration for me was the sort of 90th minute. That from 85 minutes until the full whistle, we were absolutely terrified. I mean, there was a couple of times Seaman had the chance to take it to the corner. Matondo, he could have took it to the corner as well, and he shot from 30 yards, and we were all kind of screaming at each other, like, what is going on here, lads? Like, just show a bit of composure, just take it to the corner, just kill the time and keep the ball. So that was the only thing for me. But like Sterling playing in that sort of central defensive midfielder role, mm-hmm. I thought he did really well.
What time's the flight home?
We're just walking down the sort of gangway, they're now onto the plane. So there's people kind of looking around, but I don't know if anyone knows I'm on the radio, but it's like,
I love that. And someone from in the stadium last night, this guy's getting on the plane. Yeah. People are just desperate to speak to you lot. Thanks, Stuart. Safe trip home.
Yeah, thanks very much, Gordon. Speak to you later.
Good man, good timing that as well there, Stuart. Literally getting on the plane. Yeah.
Getting told to put his phone away as we speak.
Yeah. Fasten seatbelt sign sort of thing. But from an Aberdeen perspective, we were looking at this last night because I think in Scottish football we do a bit of soul searching, don't we? And we can't be too congratulatory when a team doesn't qualify, right? Because ultimately that's kind of what they need to aim for. But if you look at how tough that group was, I mean, let's be honest, on paper, if I'd asked you, will Aberdeen get through it, I think you would both have said no.
Yeah.
They were comfortably third with a decent points tally, you know, better than most of the other third place teams. Look at remember some of the VAR decisions and refereeing decisions they were on the end of.
What was the penalty?
Incredible. So bad. Yeah. Can they be relatively satisfied with their European campaign?
I think so. I think it falls into the same kind of category as maybe what Celtic have over the last couple of seasons of the Champions League. That they've been in the games and through spells they've played really, really well. Maybe in an Aberdeen, like from Aberdeen perspective, it's maybe just that lack of experience of the level and playing in Europe and having to juggle between Thursdays and Sundays and the domestic scene as well. Maybe it's just kind of played its little part. But what I would say is every single time you've seen Aberdeen in Europe, they have been in the game. I mean, even throwing that 2-0 lead away, is there a bit of inexperience to their... Mm-hmm. I think Barry was actually given, he was questioned about the substitutions that he made that night. Yeah, listen, I thought they were actually really unlucky in the game to qualify for the Europa League as well. They had a really big opportunity. If I remember, Wimiowski, who went through, very similar to the opportunity scored against Rangers actually a few weeks ago, but easier, and he put it past the post, like, to give them a lead in that game. So it was, listen, I think they've done pretty well over it. Again, like you say, you never celebrate kind of like failing and not qualifying, but they were competitive in every game, they scored goals. They've showed up well in most of the games. So yeah, I think they can. And they've finished on a high, beating a really, really good team.
Similarly to Rangers, although Rangers got the job done, you know, the failure to beat Helsinki, drawing twice with the lowest ranked team in the group, or sorry, you know, the kind of easiest opponent, that would be obviously a huge frustration. What about the weekend from Aberdeen's perspective then? Because as we said, they made 8 changes.
So they're not in great form, the players that are going to be playing on Sunday.
So see the guys that thought they were being rested for the final, are they now finding themselves actually getting an extended rest?
That's the way it works sometimes. I think, I said there, Majovsky's the obvious one. If he's fit, he'll play.
Yeah.
But it gives, you know, Barry Robson, you know, it gives them options. These guys have come in, they've got a fantastic result in Europe, and sometimes it's wee quirks of fate. Right place at the right time with a performance might win you a jersey on Sunday.
Great goal last night, Sokler, wasn't it? Who looks like Majovsky, moves like Majovsky, and he wears 19 and Majovsky wears 9. So it's really hard to I did some highlights for another broadcaster a couple of weeks ago, and trying to tell them apart was a nightmare.
A great finish.
I think there's a bit of the team selection on both sides, because I think if Campbell will be available, obviously never travelled, I think he's got to play, but would it be harsh to leave anybody out of that performance? I think Leon Balogun's known the squad.
He seems to have the young blood still in into the middle of the park.
See, yeah, this is, it depends if Ryan Jack's fit.
Yeah.
Ryan Jack might be fit and available. You just don't know. I think if Ryan Jack's fit, he plays for me. And then you've got the question mark up front. Is Kamal Roof fit enough to start a game? Because I think that would be the four areas for me in the Rangers team. And the same for Bates. He might now have questions, good options, by the way, and good kind of questions to answer in his own mind about his team selection, because that team have went and beat Eintracht Frankfurt. Eintracht Frankfurt beat Bayern Munich 5-1 at the weekend, you know, and they've got a wonderful result. So, listen, I don't know what Barry will do with his team. I think he's had good success against Rangers, so he's got a blueprint there that he knows that his team can go and compete and cause Rangers problems.
Yeah. So, basically, Aberdeen are better than Bayern Munich, and Kilmarnock are a shoe-in to win the Dutch league next season.
Yeah, and Rangers are better than Real Madrid.
That's weird. Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
We've figured it all out. How beneficial psychologically, even, right? Because I'm thinking more, well, you've seen a lot of it from the Rangers' perspective, but sometimes when the so-called underdogs go to Hampden, you know, it's the occasion, it's the pressure. This Aberdeen team, not scarred by anything against Rangers this season. They've gone to Ibrox and won. They've done it in Glasgow. Yes, it was Michael Beale's team and it was falling apart at the end, but they've also drawn with Philippe Clement's team as well.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a last-minute penalty decision. It got the result for Rangers. I mean, I think even back, I refer more to Barry Robson, because he's played against this team, or he's played against Rangers 4 times now as a manager. He's got 2 wins, a draw, and he's only had that one defeat, which was at the end of last season after the split, 1-0 at Ibrox. So he knows, I think the way Barry sets his team up, I think it suits him to play against Rangers. I think he can play that kind of 5-4 and he's won, and he can be that little bit defensive. He knows he's going to have those kind of transition moments that he got in the game at Pittodrie a couple of weeks ago, where Sokler went through and then obviously Majovsky got his goal. I just think it suits him the way he wants to kind of set his team up. So listen, it's all there to be played for both teams. The games have been really, really close that over the last kind of 6 months or so between the pair.
Final call for Stuart and his team. I can just hear them getting waved onto the plane. Right, tonight's teaser then. Can you name the last 10 Rangers players to score in a League Cup final? You've got Miller, Davis, Jelovic and Novo. Simon, you got any more? It's too easy for him.
How far back does it go?
Quite far.
McCoist.
Not that far. This century.
You get any more?
Morelos.
Of course he does. He's the most recent. A 2-1 defeat against Celtic 2023.
My big partner.
Your big partner, Boydie. Yep. Was that the extra time game? Was it Dundee United? Yeah, 2008.
That was you, the year before I came.
Okay, 4 to get, and we will get them next. Cash for Kids. Mission Christmas. With J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Changing landscapes across the UK. I make a living out of asking stupid questions on this show, so here's another one. Would you like to win a brand new BMW 1 Series? Yes, of course you would. Well, thanks to Arnold Clark, that is the reality, and it is as simple as sending a text. 84901. Text the word car to 84901. The text costs a standard network rate message, and here's the bit that really makes a difference. It also sends a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. Every penny of that £5 straight to children that need it, and then you're in the draw for the brand new car. So every night I describe it as like the ultimate win-win, because it really is a £5 donation to charity and maybe a brand new BMW as well. The thing now is, though, there's a bit of urgency here because you're running out of time. The lines close at 6pm tomorrow, Saturday the 16th. It's over 18s only, and the full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. I would hate for it to get to 5 past, 10 past, 20 past 6 tomorrow and you've missed the boat on this. So go and, you might as well do it right now. Text car to 84901.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard with Kenny Miller and Simon Donnelly. We are looking for some answers on this teaser, which is, can you name the last 10 Rangers players to score in a League Cup final? You are doing what, I mean, Kenny's doing, he's most doing of the work, yeah, but fine. Morelos, Jelovic, Davis, Miller, Boyd and Novo.
Lovenkrantz.
Yes. That was like his cup final era, wasn't it? Peter Lovenkrantz. Any more?
Moros. Against your old, against your
another
favourites.
One. It was early as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
So that was the first cup final I ever attended as a, obviously because Motherwell don't get too many. And 91 I was 1.5, wasn't it, the game?
I was at that one.
That one turned out all right.
Yep.
And went in 2005, and that would be like peak.
Where'd you have been then?
15-ish, you know, like old pals for school. Was like tears? Such excitement. No, I'm more of a crier at happy moments than sad moments, I would say. A heavy defeat isn't
rage,
it? It's not the type of thing that would, but I felt like, you know, felt like some sort of emotion, because I think the excitement lasted. Someone would need to tell me. Morosi's goal feels like it was really early, was it?
I think it was. I think it ran through pretty early. And just
was that was it over then. Never done, really yeah. Getting any better. Anyway, I digress. Two to get, and we'll get them before the end of the show. Speaking of Motherwell, do you like that? Seamless transition.
Good at that.
There's something there in terms of fight and spirit, yeah. And they're doing something for this manager, clearly. You can't keep going on a winless run. It's St Mirren away tomorrow. It's difficult, another tough one. Where are we on that situation?
Everyone's tough, I think, for Molly.
Yeah, exactly. And
where are we at now? Is it 12 or 13? 13? Mm-hmm. Yep, 13 games. I mean, it's just an incredible run. It needs to come to an end. There has been positives within it in terms of late equalisers, obviously a big point against Celtic. But yeah, listen, you need a win, you need a win quick. It's still incredible to actually think that they're still where they're still sitting in the table. And by the way, one win away for, or a couple of wins away for kind of jumping back up as well. So they've got an opportunity. Listen, St Mirren are no probably in great form at this moment in time either. So it's a chance for them to put it right. Listen, the game will be competitive. They've done some good stuff, but they need to get back. But by the way, they don't even need to play well. They just need to win.
Get a result.
Yeah, where is the balance, Simon? Because obviously, this is just stating the obvious. You cannot keep going on when, you know, without winning games. But once you've got to this point, in isolation, you know, a narrow defeat at St Mirren is not a disgrace. And then you play Rangers Christmas Eve, and obviously they'd be heavy favourites. But to go back to this one that kicked it off, you also can't keep not winning games. So how do, if you're the Motherwell hierarchy, or even if you're Stuart Kettlewell, how do you get your head round the challenge?
You just have to. You have to try and get that win on the board. As I say, they look as if they've got the fight. They've come back late last week and got the point. They certainly showed as if they had the fight at Celtic Park, but they got a point. You'd have thought they'd have kicked on from that. But they need a win from somewhere. You said, the saving grace is, I'm looking at the table, you know, 3 points from mid-table. But they just need to find that win. I'm not convinced they'll get it tomorrow, though, because I think that's a tough place. I know they hadn't been on a great run, but they got a good win last week, and it'll be a tough one tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised with a draw.
And look, Dundee have been very good and well done to them, but Ross County are at home to Dundee, so they would see that as winnable, at least. Livi, El Plastico, they're really struggling. But again, at home to Kilmarnock, it's like it's at least in the winnable category. There's no guarantee any of them, you know, all draw. St Johnstone Hibs as well, I'm sure. The travelling fans will be delighted to see Craig Levein and give him a nice reception. So it's a really interesting fixture card overall, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think everybody's got their own reasons and importance of why they would want to win this game. Celtic again to extend their lead. Livingston are again another team need a win. Yeah. And not just on a not win, they're on a bad losing run of fixtures as well. So it's an opportunity. And they're starting to get a little bit cut adrift at the bottom of that league. So it's important that they try and get a win. Kilmarnock want to maintain their good form that they're in and cementing their place in the top six. Ross County had a wee upturn under Derek Adams. Dundee have been going well under Tony Dock. So St Johnstone again, same with Craig Levein. But listen, every game's got it. Every game's got something in it. And again, every single one of them want to get 3 points.
Yeah, if you're a Kilmarnock fan, you've gone to Pittodrie and won and backed that up with a win against Celtic.
Yep.
Saying, don't mess that up away to Livy.
No.
That's kind of what Scottish football does, you know, because it is so tight and teams end up not being able to put that run together, don't they?
Yeah, but I fear for Livingston. They can't score a goal. Kilmarnock are coming down, they're no strangers to the plastic pitch, and in good form, I think Kilmarnock will win. I think Livingston are really struggling at the moment. I don't see, when you're struggling to score goals, you're not winning games, and as Kenny says, they are about to be cut adrift. I think Kilmarnock will win.
Yeah, it's a tight little section below the bottom. Well, it's all tight, isn't it? But the bottom seem, I think most people expect the real strugglers to come from kind of Motherwell, St Johnstone, Livy, maybe, you know, Ross County. I know Aberdeen are still there, but and Europe is separate. Surely you can't beat Eintracht Frankfurt in the same season that you stay down there, can you? I mean, they've got two games in hand over Motherwell. Is that what's maybe skewing things?
Well, not so much, I think, because they've not got two games in hand on teams above them. You know, sure. You look at Dundee,
same games,
and they've got a game to Ross County. It's just important to win games. I mean, yeah. Aberdeen, you can't see them staying there. But we're 15 games into a season, well past a third of the season now, and they're still there. They've still not, they've won four games out of 15. It's not enough, you know, so they need to turn it. Will it turn now that they're out of Europe and they can really kind of focus on it? Listen, their eyes, like Rangers, will be on the cup final.
Sure.
But it's a chance to put some real positivity to the season at an early stage.
Right, you two need two more of the last 10 Rangers players to score in a League Cup final. Thanks to Sliding Wardrobe Solutions, East Kilbride, for helping us out. Make sure you check out their trade counter down on Colville's Road. Morelos, Jelovic, Davis, Miller, Boyd, Novo, Moros and Lovenkrantz. Same game. It's the same game, but they scored five. Do you really need me to remind you?
Both in the same game?
Yes.
Ferguson scored
not. No, one of these guys is the hardest on the list by a mile because he's an unlikely guy to even get one goal, but he got two in that game. His nationality would give it away. I'm almost certain of it. He's the same nationality as Georgios Samaras.
Kyriakos
got two in that game. And the other one, he was mentioned earlier in the show as being a good example of a Rangers fullback that played in midfield.
There you go.
He still can't
there get. There you go. It's no Tavernier, by the way.
Put him out of his misery.
Fernando Rixon.
Fernando Rixon. There we go. We got there. In the end, lots to look forward to this weekend. As the guys have just been saying there, Celtic off the back of that European victory, can they get back to winning ways in the league? Celtic Hearts, always a great fixture. That takes top billing tomorrow. Paisley, the visit of Motherwell to St Mirren. Some fascinating fixtures. And it is one of the highlights of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard calendar. It is our sports auction tomorrow, all in aid of Cash for Kids. Every penny raised goes straight back to children that need our help. Some brilliant items, some collector's items, some money can't buy items and experiences. So make sure you tune in. And if you can, of course, I know it's not easy, dig deep to help us out. To everyone who feels that they can't dig deep, well, you can still text for the car. Remember that brand new BMW 1 Series. But we are back and I'm going to go slightly earlier to give us more time in the auction. Set the alarm. Well, not the alarm, it's a bit late for that, but get it in the diary. 1:45, 1:45 tomorrow afternoon. We are here and the GBX is up next.